Praise the Lord. We're going to continue today with a series of teaching I've been doing on the authority of the believer. And just to bring you up to date, because it was a couple of weeks back when we last looked at this, you know, we saw we needed to start exercising the authority we have. You know, let me read to you the scripture which we're taking as our text verse for this series of teaching, which is Luke 10 verse 19. And in this verse, Jesus said these words. He says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Jesus said, "I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." See, we've seen that Jesus delegated his authority to the church. And what we actually were looking at last night is that we need to start exercising that authority. And how we do that is we do it through words. And as we looked at the scriptures last time, we saw that Jesus, on many, many occasions, just gave a command, a word, in faith. You know, and that command of faith released the power to heal, the power to save, the power to deliver, the power to set people free from oppression, to set them free from the oppression of the enemy. You know, that's why we can sing that song this morning, that "I'm so glad Jesus set me free." You know, Satan had me bound, but Jesus set me free. Amen. You know, Jesus came to set us free. And he gave us the power and the authority to release through words, through faith words, through commands of faith, and see the same thing happen. You see it through the Acts of the Apostles, Peter and John. They were going up to the temple to pray, and they didn't lay their hands on the lame man there. They just spoke to him and said, "We haven't got silver, we haven't got gold, but we've got something you can have." And he said, "In the name of Jesus." They released that faith command, and the man stood on his feet. You know, we've been given the authority. We've got to start learning to use that authority, start exercising that authority. Because one thing we did say last time, and it bears repeating today, is that Jesus will not do anything about the devil in your life. And I think, well, what sort of thing is that? You know, what am I saying here? Jesus will not do anything about the devil in your life. Because all that he's going to do, he's already done. He did it on the cross. He's already defeated the devil.
Amen.
What the Bible teaches us, and we haven't got time to go back into this morning, because we did look at it last time, is that the Bible tells us in James that we are to resist the devil. You resist the devil, it says. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9. You know, Peter writes, he says that the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But then it says, resist him, steadfast in the faith. Resist him. You've got to stand against him. You know, Jesus has given us the power and the authority to deal with the devil in our lives. You know, we have the right, we have the power to tell the devil to clear out and tell him to get off and to leave our families and our lives alone. But we don't exercise that authority like we ought to. And that's where we need to begin exercising and taking control and start giving the devil a little bit of a headache or a big headache. You know, we could sing the song, yeah, perhaps we don't fully appreciate. You know, Satan had me bound. It was in the past, but now Jesus has set me free. You know, I'm so glad that Jesus has set me free. We need to stay free. But one of the problems we soon find is when we start talking like that, and we start exercising our authority, and this is what we're going to look at this morning, is that we soon become targets for the enemy's attack. Because he's not going to just go quietly. When we come up against him, when we start commanding this in the name of Jesus. We tell him to get out of our families in Jesus' name, to get out of our bodies in Jesus' name, to take his sickness away from us in Jesus' name, you know, to get his hands off of our possessions in Jesus' name. We start becoming prime targets for attack. And whenever we begin to exercise our authority, we soon find the attacks increase. You know, the devil's going to use every available means to attack us. And if he can't get through us into our spirits, if he can't penetrate our spirit man, he'll use something else. He'll try and attack our body. He'll try and attack our mind. He'll attack our emotions. He'll attack whatever he can get his, grubby little claws into. You know, whatever the devil could, that's why the Bible tells us to give him no foothold in our life. You know, not even to give him just a tiny place to rest his foot. If he can put his foot down somewhere, he'll take full advantage. You've heard the saying, give somebody an inch, they'll take a mile. Well, the devil does that. But he doesn't need an inch, he just needs a millimeter. You give him just one fraction, and he won't just take the mile. He'll take as much as he can get. But God has given us weapons to use. And if you turn with me to the second book of Corinthians, chapter 10, just want to read three or four verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 3. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing in every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." You know, there tells, you know, although we're in the flesh, although we walk in the flesh, although we've got a flesh body, you know, we're not fighting a flesh battle. We're fighting a spiritual battle. You know, the weapons God has given us, it says here, the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, they're not of the flesh, they're not of the natural realm, they're not physical weapons. It's not a sword and a gun, like a soldier would have. People wouldn't have the sword today, but you know the weapons they have, it's not missiles and things that we have today. You know, God has given us weapons, but these weapons are, they're not physical weapons, but they're mighty in God to pulling down strongholds that the enemy would erect. They're spiritual weapons. You know, that word there, carnal, means of the senses, of the flesh. You know, the weapons we use are not things that we can handle. They're not things that we can see with our physical eyes, or you know what the senses are, you know, sort of sight, taste, hearing, you know, touch. They're not things that we can handle, but they're of the Spirit. And we've got the authority. God has given us the authority to use those weapons. He gave us the authority, what do we read in Luke, over all the power of the enemy. We've got, if you go back to those, the very first lessons, I know it was quite a time ago when we looked at this, but we've got those, there's two different words there in that verse in Luke 10. It says that God has, or Jesus gave us authority. And the Greek word there is kratos. You know, gave us the authority over all the power, or the dunamis, all the might that the enemy can muster. We've got the authority over it. And we can use those weapons to demolish strongholds that he would erect. And what's a stronghold? It's anything that has a stronghold in our life, or a grip on our life. Now for some, it may be the stronghold of sin. It may be a habit that we're into. It may be just something of our mind or our emotions. You know, whatever the devil uses to grip us and keep us down, that's a stronghold. It may be something physical in our bodies, like a sickness, which is getting on top of us day by day. But we just can't seem to get rid of this thing. Well, it's a stronghold, it's a grip that the Satan has over us. And we can use these weapons to demolish those strongholds. We can also use them, what does it say in verse 5? It says, to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. We can use these weapons to control the things we think and the things that come into our mind. And every thought that's not of God, we can take captive. So that's not my thought. You know, one preacher is now with the Lord. He put it like this. You know, we can't stop the thoughts coming into our head. You know, we get all manner of thoughts. And some of them will be quite evil and quite wicked. We can't stop them coming in, but we can control what we do with them. We can say, well, that's not my thought, and get rid of it. Take it captive. The moment we start dwelling upon it, thinking upon it, speaking it, imagining, then it becomes our thought. He put it like this, talking about the thoughts coming. He says, you can't stop the birds flying over your head, but you can stop them nesting in your hair. You can't stop the thoughts as they come, but you can stop them from taking root and making a home there. But we've got to take captive every thought, every imagination, every argument that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God. Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. Now this morning we're going to just take a few minutes and just look at these weapons that God has given us. Not any in depth, because we don't have the time. You know, I could do a series of studies on these, which would take 6 or 7 weeks. So I'm just going to look briefly this morning in the book of Ephesians. Now, one of the major themes of Ephesians, we've already studied this in relation to this study on the authority of the believer. It's a major theme, authority, in the book of Ephesians. And you know, we spent a lot of time in the first couple of weeks looking at Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about that Christ is far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named. And he's all things are put under his feet, and he's been given to be head over all things to the church. But then it goes on to chapter 2 saying that we've been raised up with Christ and made to sit in the heavenly places with him. You know, we have a place of authority. And now you find this authority runs through the whole book of Ephesians. And in the book of Ephesians you find there's two prayers that Paul prayed specifically for you and me, specifically for believers, in relation to authority. And one of those we find in chapter 1, and it's verse 17 and 18. In verse 15 he says, I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love. He said, oh, I don't cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. And this is the prayer he's praying in verse 17, that the God of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. You know, Paul prayed for every believer that they would be enlightened regarding authority, that they'd have a spirit of wisdom and revelation concerning these things. And then a little bit later on in chapter 3, we find another prayer Paul prays here. And he says in verse 14, chapter 3, verse 14, he says, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, this is his prayer, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the man. that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then he goes on, that we might comprehend the love of God. You know, therefore praise that we would be strengthened with might, or strengthened by the Spirit in the inner man. You know, and that's chapter 3. And that brings us on to chapter 6, the last chapter in the book. And here in chapter 6, he's still dealing with authority. The theme of authority is running right through this book. And here he writes in verse 10, he says, "Finally, brethren." You know, he's just bringing this theme to a conclusion. "Finally, brethren," he says, "be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Part of his prayer in chapter 3 was that we might be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. And he says, "Finally, brethren," he says, "now be strong in the Lord." You know, be strengthened. You know, walk in the power of that might. Not in our own strength. You know, we're to be strong in his mighty power. It says there in verse 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You know, we've got no power or might of ourselves. We've got no power or might in our own strength. We haven't got any power in our physical strength to deal with anything, yet alone the devil. But in the power of his might, you know, we've got all the authority and all the power. It's just like a policeman. You know, without the badge or the warrant card, and without the uniform, they've got no power. And they can stand in the street and put their hands up to stop the traffic, and people might slow down for them, but because they haven't got the authority, you know, no one's going to take any notice. But when they're wearing the uniform and they've got the backing, they've got the warrant card, they've got everything up, everything they need, you know, they stand in the street and put their hands up, then the traffic stops. They've got the authority. Nothing in their own strength, but when they've got the uniform, if you like, or the strength of the, or the might of the law behind them, they have all the authority and all the power. And God has given us, talking about the policeman's uniform, God's given us a uniform to wear. He's given us armour, and that's what Paul's defend against the wiles of the devil. Just think about that verse for the moment. He says, "Put on the whole armour of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." When we're wearing this armour, we can come and stand against, or that word "stand against" means to resist. This is how we can resist the devil. We start off saying that we've got to resist him. You know, Jesus isn't going to do it for us. We can't pray to God and say, "God, take the devil away from me," because Jesus already dealt that victory, won that victory. Now it's up to us to get rid of him. It's up to us to tell him to clear off. And when we've got the whole armour of God on, we can stand against, or we can resist, we can oppose the wiles or the schemes or the plans of the devil. You know, this armour must be worn continually. It's not something we can take off and put on, and take off and put on. It's not a physical armour, it's a spiritual armour. Why must we wear it? Because we must be under constant alert. You know, the devil doesn't work 9 to 5. You know, I think sometimes we have an idea that, you know, because we're so structured by time, you know, that it's a time for this and time for that and time for, you know, the devil works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, trying to attack us, trying to bring us down. So we've got to be under constant alert. The armour provides protection for the believer, and it also equips and prepares the believer for every good work, so that we can stand against the devil's schemes, the devil's plans, the devil's devices. And in these next few verses, it goes on and just lists 6 pieces of armoury that
we are to wear. But before we just look at those, let's just look at verse 12. It says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Just a reminder that, you know, this isn't a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Then Paul writes, he says, therefore, he says, take up the whole armour of God. Because of this, because we're engaged in this battle, we've got to put on this armour, we've got to take up this armour. Take up the whole armour of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Or when, that you'll be able to keep standing when the devil attacks, when the devil comes. You've got to be able to keep standing. Then he goes on. Let's just look at these six pieces of armour here that Paul talks about. Now when he's writing these words, he's got in his mind, a Roman soldier. Now it might not be a soldier, perhaps as we understand, you know, because they don't have the same type of armoury, they don't have the same type of weapons. But Paul's got in his mindset is on a Roman soldier. So you've got to have that sort of picture in your mind when you're reading the scripture. It's not somebody in khaki green. This is somebody with a sort of a chain mail armour on. So he says here, he says, verse 14, he says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Truth is the first spiritual weapon that we have as believers. Truth is like a belt that fits around our waist. Now if you think about the area of the waist, that's the area around the organs of our body, which perhaps we might not like to think of this, but it's around our sort of reproductive organs and our waist organs. And truth always deals with the waste that the devil brings, the rubbish. The truth of God's word deals effectively with all that rubbish that the world will throw at us, the devil will throw at us, the deceit, the lies. You know how he tries to twist the word of God and try and make it mean, say it doesn't really mean that. And the truth of God's word always deals with rubbish. And it dispels the rubbish just like our own body does. And brings us into the truth. The belt of truth also holds every other piece of armour in place. And on the Roman soldier, everything was attached to this like girdle. Almost to the lower part of the girdle. The breastplate was attached to the girdle. Everything was attached to this belt of truth. You know, truth and integrity must be a vital part of our lives. We must be truthful, we must be honest and have integrity. Because without it, we've got no confidence in... Well, we can have no confidence in our own authority if we don't trust ourselves. We say, well, if we're people that are continually dishonest, we're lying, we've got no confidence in our own word. So we can't have any confidence in what God says. Because we don't look at God in the same way, because our judgment's clouded. So we've got to be truthful. We've got to have integrity. We've got to be honest in and upright in every area of our life. And the belt of truth holds everything in place. You know, it's one of the key things. And then it goes on in verse 14. It says, stand up, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now, we said that truth covered the organs that we use for reproduction and waste. Well, righteousness covers the organs that are vital for our life. Covers in the breastplate, covers the lungs, it covers the heart. And righteousness protects us from the attacks of the enemy. And those attacks that bring condemnation. You know, something in our heart make us feel condemned.
You know, we've sung it this morning, we've remembered it as we came to the table of the Lord. You know, we're made righteous by the blood of the Lamb. You know, it's the blood that flows from the heart. Or the heart pumps the blood around the body, around the system. You know, we're talking about the heart, thinking about the blood. And it's the blood that makes us righteous. The righteousness as a breastplate, you know, protects those vital organs. The ones we need to live. Our heart, our lungs. It also shows our obedience to God's word. Why? Because we want to obey God. We want to live righteously. We want to follow His commands. We want to do what's right. That all comes from the heart. You know, it's out of our hearts. It's a heart relationship we have with God. You know, righteousness protects our very life with God, our Christian walk. So we need truth. We need righteousness. In verse 15 it says that we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does this mean? Well, to the Roman soldier, it's like putting on his boots. When he's got his boots on, he's ready to march. He's ready to go. And if the Bible says that we need to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In other words, we've got to be prepared. We've got to be ready to do whatever and go wherever God wants us to go. It's a willing spirit, a willing heart. Wherever we go, whatever we do, we've got to be proclaiming the word of God. You know, you'll see the word of God is key in all this. We've got to be proclaiming God's word. It's the message of the cross that brings God's power of salvation and peace to all. And here it talks about the gospel of peace, having a readiness, a willingness to share the gospel, to do what God wants us to. You know, God can only lead and direct those who are willing to follow. And that's what we want to know God's leading, we want to know God's direction. We want God to show us things that the enemy's doing so that we can come against it, so that we can deal with it. You know, and that readiness to follow Him is a sign of our faithfulness to Him, that we are faithful. The gospel of peace, the preparation of the gospel of peace, it's got to be, we've got to put it on like shoes. The boots that the Roman soldier wore were strong things that came right up to almost to the waist, and they protected his where he walked, protected him from traps that the enemy would put down. You know, today they'd use things like landmines and things like that, but in those days gone by, it was sort of a foot traps to try and trap them. A bit like a. And when we're ready and willing to follow Jesus, when we've got the truth, we've got righteousness, we've got that willingness, that readiness, that faithfulness in serving God, then we'll have protection. Above all, verse 16 tells us to take the shield of faith with which we can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Above all. Above everything else, take off the shield of faith. Because it's this shield that quenches every fiery dart that the enemy would shoot at us. Every accusation, every temptation, every doubt, every fear, every thought that comes in, everything the devil fires at us, the shield of faith will quench. Now the type of shield mentioned here wasn't just a little tiny thing which you see on some of these TV programs with the gladiators and things fighting, and they've got a tiny little round thing that, you know, the shield that it's talking about here was something that stirred about this tall from the ground. It covered the entire front of the body. Probably the best thing if you to think about it, we use today is what people like the police and the army use in things like the riot shields. You know, they're a solid wall of shields when they're marching against a crowd in a riot situation. And it's this type of shield that Paul's thinking about. A shield that covers the entire front of the body. It was made of leather. It was very often, in those days, it was soaked. It was wet with water. So when a fiery arrow would come and strike the shield, it would be extinguished. Now this shield could also be lifted up high above to protect the head. So if there was like arrows coming in. No, if you've seen things, you've watched things like Robin Hood or things like that, you see them, you know, they fire arrows from the top of the castle. You know, they all come down, they lift up the shield above their heads to protect them. But we have complete covering through faith in God. Faith comes by revelation of the Word of God. It's what Romans tells us. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And this faith will quench every fiery dart of the wicked one. Every dart the enemy shoots will be extinguished when we apply for the Word of God. Faith in the Word of God. Faith that comes from God. You know, when the enemy fight the dart of doubt and unbelief, you can say, yeah, well, this is what God says. This is what God says. When he fires doubts about our salvation, no. We've got a word, we can go faith in the word, we'll quench that fiery doubt. When he tells us that we've got to put up with things in our life, we see that Jesus has paid the price for them. Faith will quench that fiery doubt. And Paul writes, as we touched on, we've got to take this up above all else. Above all, take up this shield of faith. Because this shield of faith quenches every fiery doubt. Verse 17. Take off the helmet of salvation. Salvation is like a helmet on our heads. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 8 talks about this. Talks about the salvation. Talks about the hope of salvation as a helmet. The hope of salvation. What does this hope do? It guards our minds from the evil thoughts and imaginations that Satan would try and put there. You know, the helmet covers the head, protects the brain, protects sort of out the mind. You know, salvation is from the Lord. And it says in the scriptures, we read it in the beginning of Ephesians in chapter 1, says that he is head over all things to the church. Salvation comes from God, who is the head over all things to the church. He's the head. You wear the body. You know, salvation as our helmet. The hope of salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, it goes on in verse 17. Now, you're probably aware, I could spend weeks just on this one verse alone. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is called the sword of the Spirit. This shows us that the Word of God is to be used offensively. It's to be used in an active way. It's to be used to attack. Just like Jesus did in came and said, command these stones to become bread. Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. Every time the enemy came at him, Jesus responded with the Word of God. It is written, he said. And he quoted a scripture. It is written. And he quoted another scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. The Word of God is our sword. Hebrews puts it that it's a double-edged sword. It cuts both ways. We've got to take up the Word of God. We've got to know God's Word. We've got to treat it like a sword. You know, when the devil comes, we can go in with chapter and verse and say, this is what the Scripture says. It'd be like wielding a sword in a battle. Finally, tells us here, praying always, verse 18. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end, with all perseverance. Praying in the Spirit. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know, Ephesians, it's quite a few times in Ephesians, talks about the things of the Spirit. You know, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost. One, it's only understood by God. That's good. Only God hears. It's good to pray in the Spirit. Why? Because the devil can't interpret those prayers. You pray in English, everybody can hear what's being prayed. We pray in a language we understand. Yeah, you can hear, I can hear, we all can hear. God can hear. But so can the devil hear. But when we pray in the Spirit, it's only understood by God. You know, it talks about, in Romans, it talks about us praying and the Spirit helping us in our prayers. You know, with groanings and utterances which cannot be heard. Praying in the Spirit strengthens us in the inner man. That's what Paul prays, that we would be strengthened in the inner man. When we pray in the Spirit, it renews us in the spirit of our mind. You know, we don't have our own thoughts or our own judgments or our own ideas clouding decisions that are made. You know, praying in the Spirit does something in the mind. Makes us, and it keeps us watchful, it keeps us alert, it keeps us sharp. That's what we need to be when we're focused in a battle. Now we've got the authority. We've seen that. But it's important that we take up these six important truths. These six pieces of armour. Truth. Righteousness. That readiness. In the gospel. The shield of faith. We take up faith. Salvation and God's word. We need these six things. And then on top of all that, we keep on praying. Always praying. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now these six weapons, or these six pieces of armour, are mighty in God, pulling down strongholds. So let's do what Paul tells us, put them on. Let's keep them on, keep wearing, make sure we live in lives of displaying these attributes of God. We're people of truth. We're righteous. You know, we've got salvation. We've got a readiness, a faithfulness to God, readiness to follow Him. You know, we've got the faith and we've got the Word of God. And above all, well, I say above all, and on top of all that, we're praying always. You know, preparing us for the battle. We need these things if we're going to stand against the wiles of the devil. Amen. We need these. We need to wear them. We need them. We're not equipped without them. Now let's pray this morning, shall we, and give thanks to God.